Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the foothills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's day is January 8, 2015. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. It's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. And we are indeed in a time of the end, and we can see the armies of the Antichrist rising up out there and coming forward in their preliminary stage. So watch, folks, and we apologize to you for not being on for the last couple of weeks, but we were at the Mission Church working, and most people were out on holidays. I don't think anybody was listening anyway, or were you? Point being is we are back, and we're ready to give you a powerful program tonight. You can always find updates, though, with our breaking news, our ministry radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And folks, if most people out there are now listening over their smartphone, and so that site is prophecyhour.com. It's very smartphone friendly. And if you scroll down on the right side, you'll find a thing that says End Time Radio Archives. That both has Mission Watch Archives, and it also has Prophecy Hour Archives. They have apps so that you can listen to the programs. And so if you go to podomatic.com or just click the link, End Time Radio Archives, you will take you to our archive site. And there are apps that you can get for your smartphone to listen to these radio programs. So I'm really glad to be back tonight, and we've got a powerful program for you tonight. Anyway, first a prayer, and then we'll bring on tonight's guests. But I want to ask you in advance to please consider donating for radio airtime so we can stay on the air, and also pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. Any size donation will help. We do really need your help because, as you know, we do not sell anything. Now for a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio goes tonight according to your will and not my will, and not necessarily our guest's will, Father, but your will, Father Yahweh. And so please give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth tonight. Please bless this program and bless our listening audience. Amen and amen. Well, we're tonight we have Steve Henderson back on with us. And so, Steve, why don't you come on?
Greetings and shalom to you, Pastor Dan.
Well, you know what? I brought you on abruptly. I looked over here on my read sheet, and I didn't have anything to introduce you with. So I forgot to do it. Anyway, that's what you get for taking off for a couple of weeks, I guess.
Well, it's anyway. Always a joy, brother. It's a joy to be on your Prophecy Hour program.
Steve, you've been on with us before, and you've got a couple of – don't you have a couple of DVDs? Tell them where your website is and give them a little something what's over there. So that'll give you your own intro.
Yes, I have the Sherwater Prophecy Ministries located in Oklahoma. My main mission is to mainly help atheists and agnostics and people who don't know the Lord to show them the scripture and convince them that there is one that goes the end from the beginning. And so I have conducted several seminars that are prophetically based, that use Bible prophecy in a PowerPoint fashion to illustrate that there is a great hope that we have. It's not about all gloom and doom. It's about a hope. It's called a blessed hope in Scripture. And there are too many people walking around that have no hope at all. And I hope that through my little efforts that I have, what the Lord is doing with me, that I can help others to find Yeshua as Savior. And that's my main mission, brother.
Yeah, amen, amen. I'm sure glad to have you on. What do you think about, you know, the whole world seems to be talking about this thing that happened yesterday in France. And we do see, finally see a few in the honest media coming forward and saying that people are just not saying, using the thing Islamic and they need to identify it, and while others are being silent. What do you think about that whole situation, or have you even gave it any thought?
I have given it much thought. In fact, I recognize it as a big, big beast, and it's getting larger, and I don't understand it. But, you know, throughout the history of the world, when Yahweh got ready to take down large nations, he wound up getting all the little people on the block together to take care of the bully. And this Islamophobia, as they refer to it, is a real deal. And right now in Iran, they are holding a Islamic conference with over 60 countries that they're sponsoring to try to find out how they can formulate a unity of the Islamic world against the enemies of Islam, which predominantly are the West, the great Satan, and the Zionist regime, which would be Israel.
Well, you know, brother, I feel like that, you know, we've been too busy running to and fro, so to speak, and our, you know, leaders doesn't, current administration doesn't seem to want to point anything towards Islam, but I really feel that something is coming strongly to the United States. It just, you know, I can't say how, point to any one exact thing, something I feel in my spirit. What do you think?
Very obviously, brother, there is talk, a lot of talk over there, and we think there's quite a distance between us and them, but their whole plan is to take on the West, and they do have people coming across the southern borders, I understand, just waiting for a call from the leadership to create a lot of havoc, and I think it'll be a lot larger than 9/11, and I expect that to happen. There's no doubt in my mind that I could quote from here to midnight statements by ISIS, Al-Qaeda, you know, the Islamic Jihad, Hamas, all of these groups that are fanatics are enemies of the great Satan or the West and of Israel. And their whole focus, my friend, is to eliminate and put underfoot these big nations so that Sharia law can be put out on top.
Yeah, absolutely. One more. I want to say one more thing before we get into what you want to talk about tonight. And this, folks, this is to you out there. I really want to tell you that I really believe deeply in my spirit that you need to, number one, you need to get right with the Lord Yeshua. You need to get on your face and get right with him and make sure that your salvation is assured. From that, you need to go to your family and make sure their salvation is assured. And then you need let me finish here a minute, brother. Give me a minute. Okay. Anyway, I need you folks to concentrate on what I'm telling you. I really feel deeply that America is in danger like it never has been before. I want you to, you need to watch your back when you go to crowded places. If you feel in your spirit that you shouldn't be there, then don't be there, because that's the spirit moving you. You need to learn to listen, to have that relationship, so you know when to follow an unction from the Father through the Holy Spirit, from Yeshua. You need to do that. My heart goes out, and you need to watch your back. Secondly, I want you to make sure that you need to have a little bit of preparations at home, whether that means a couple of weeks' worth of food or 6 months' worth of food. You need to have something so you have time to think in case something happens, because I don't know how I can how to explain it, but I do feel something very strongly is coming. And so this is my warning to you. I'm not saying, thus saith the Lord. I'm not saying today, tomorrow, or tomorrow, but I feel encouraged to give you this warning. Back to you, Steve.
That's a very appropriate message, Pastor Dan. I feel exactly the same way. I think this is a day of preparation. And what encourages me about all of it is Bible prophecy. And prophecy is a light that shines in a dark place, and eventually it will illuminate your mind and heart to understand the truth that we're not just here to exist and die, but we're here because we are created by the intelligent designer who loved us and gave himself for us, who died and was risen from the grave, went back to his Father and said, I'm coming back, and I'm going to prepare a place for you, and when I do, I'm coming back to receive you unto myself, that where I am, you can be also. And he gave us plenty of things to look at to prepare his people. And I would like to examine one of those prophecies this evening, Pastor Dan, that would help us to know exactly where we are in the scope of his return.
Okay, amen. You have the floor, brother, or the mic, as it would be.
Okay, my friend. I want to look at one of the most overlooked, in-your-face, end-time prophecies found in the prophetic writings. And I've scanned the base of the most popular prophecy teachers to hear about what they are expositing on concerning a couple of the visions out of the prophet Daniel, and find very little said about these particular visions. And so this evening, I would like to go back. I know back in around the fall of 2013, brother, I shared a couple of in your Prophecy Hour programs, which centered on select passages out of the book of Daniel. Tonight, I want to reexamine a certain vision and bring it down to 2015. A lot has happened since I shared that with you a year and a half ago, and I will try my hardest not to be too repetitive in this. if you remember, we discovered that Daniel's visions from Daniel 7 to Daniel 12 have a special significance for the end. In fact, as the end approaches, those who would run back and forth in the prophet's writings, in the words and the content of the visions, additional knowledge and much more light will come out of those words, and at that particular time, the book will become unsealed. And I guess what I would like to do, for the benefit of those who may have not heard those programs back a while ago, I would like to take the readers to Daniel, the 12th chapter, for a moment to lay kind of a base on where I'm going from here, if you don't mind. Daniel chapter 12, and I will look at verse 4. In Daniel 12 and verse 4, Daniel's told, seal up the book and the words of the book until the time of the end. And at the time of the end, people will run back and forth in the knowledge of these words, these sealed words, and this sealed book, and knowledge will then increase. As I shared with you before, I don't believe the knowledge that we're talking about contextually deals with the horse and buggy and the space shuttle knowledge, but I believe it deals with the sealed words of the book, and that we would not know the whole content of the book of Daniel until the time of the end, and then we would look at the very players and the geographical locations and other things that clearly are identified there and recognize we are finally at that place where we're getting ready to go home. Now, in verse 9 of chapter 12, the messenger again reiterates and reminds Daniel as to the sealing up of his visions. In verse 9 of chapter 12, he again says, go your way, Daniel, for the words are sealed up until the time of the end. So at the time of the end, we will look in this book. For those who are diligent in the study of his words, will find more light and more understanding that will help us to illuminate the saints, to prepare them for the coming of our Lord and Messiah, Yeshua. Oh, and by the way, this is a whole reason for studying prophecy. You know, it's all about his promise to come back to the sin-sick earth and gather up his elect from one end of the earth to the other. Amen, brother?
Yeah, amen.
And I don't know about you, but baking bricks under the taskmaster's whip in the Egyptian sun is getting pretty old. And we have a promised land that's coming. And eventually, the prophets are going to come to pass. The writings, just exactly how they said it would happen. So I would encourage those who have their Bibles tonight to get them out, because I would want to take you to certain passages in Scripture that relate around an end-time vision. And it's very clearly identified as an end-time vision, and it's found in Daniel, the 8th chapter. And if you'll go with me to that chapter, we'll take a look. Now, in the Daniel 8 chapter, Daniel had received this vision, and it was a very disturbing vision. In fact, in verse 26, I believe it is, of chapter 8, it was so troubling to him, he became sick and fainted and for many days afterward. But let's center our focus on Daniel's narrative in verse 15 of chapter 8, and for context, and to show you where this vision is, where Gabriel put it. In verse 15 of chapter 8, it says, "Then it happened, when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and was seeking the meaning, that suddenly there stood before me one having the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of the Ulai, who called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision." Now, in verse 16, when he came near to where he stood, he came, and Daniel was afraid and fell on his face. Now, notice the very first thing that the mighty angel told Daniel. He says in verse 17, "Understand, son of man, this vision refers to the time of the end." So I don't have to guess when this vision of this infuriated goat and bullion ram takes place. And in response to the shocking revelation about the vision, Daniel went into a deep sleep, and then Gabriel had more to reveal to Daniel, touched him again, and he reiterated the exact time when the vision would take place in verse 19. It says, "Look, I am making you know what will happen in the latter time of the indignation, for at the appointed time the end shall be." So very evidently, in two specific verses, Gabriel told Daniel, this vision that is troubling to you is going to be an end-time vision. And after receiving additional insight as to who the animals represented, in addition to identifying the characteristics of the blasphemous, deceitful, murderous little horn who's in it, by the way, is also found in Revelation 13 and Daniel chapter 7, who would be broken by Yeshua himself, we discover this revealing narrative in verse 26. It says, "The vision of the evenings and the mornings, which was told, is true. Therefore, fill up the vision, for it refers to many days in the future." So, friends, this has been one of the most misunderstood and misinterpreted visions in the Bible. Why? Because Yahweh has had his hand on filling up this vision, and it told us time to understand the details. And only at the end would those who were diligent and hungry seekers for additional truth discover the additional details that had been previously overlooked. They will recognize that the very players on the world scene who are creating havoc actually finally fit into the specifics of the vision. If someone believes that a prophecy has met its literal concise fulfillment in a historical record, which is the case in this particular verse, or in this chapter 8, it's always been exposited as a historical narrative where the Medes and Persians succeeded Babylon, and then Greece, Alexander the Great, came and conquered the Medes and Persians, and then the little horn, which they identify as Antiochus Epiphanes, laid swine on the altar. And, you know, that's fine and dandy to make application to this vision, and I'm not saying that there is not some partial fulfillment, but the specifics are important, and those who ignore them will be caught off guard. Truth is progressive when you consider Bible prophecy, Brother Dan, and it's not only up to date, but it's ahead of date. And so when Gabriel says this is an end-time vision, We need to place it where Gabriel places it at the end of time. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
So, in fact, every specific is very vital to interpret in its right place. If you're putting history, if you're imposing history on Bible prophecy, then the historical narrative has to line up with the specifics of the prophecy. And in my study of ancient history, I recognized very clearly that there were some pieces that were missing in the concept of Alexander the Great being the great horn, and then when he died, his four generals took over, which is a common interpretation in most cases. And in Antiochus Epiphanes wound up coming out of one of the four and laying swine on the altar, and that was the abomination of desolation. But Yeshua, you know, a couple hundred years later, said, "Well, you therefore see that spoken of by Daniel the prophet." So that right there ought to show you that didn't have anything to do with Antiochus Epiphanes and that abomination. It could have been a type, or, you know, they have types and shadows. But too many pick out verses that seem to fit their interpretation of a prophecy and leave a bunch of clear-cut scriptures out that contradict or just don't seem to fit well. And this happens way too often. Do you agree?
I agree.
In addition, Yeshua places Daniel's vision at the end, which ushers in a time of trouble, which precedes his coming back for his bride. Now, if you remember, Yeshua specifically spoke of the prophecies of Daniel, and he tied it into the end when he said in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14, as he was given signs to his disciples about what would happen soon before his return, he said the gospel will be preached as a witness unto all the nations, then the end will come. So here we go. He's talking about the end here. And then please note that Yeshua is clearly speaking of this end event with something that Daniel wrote. And he says, "When you therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet." So there again, Yeshua ties the end with the gospel going to all the world. And
oh, hey, I got to break in. We got less than 30 seconds before we got to go to a break. So, brother, real quick, give me a website, and we'll come back and talk.
Yes, it's surewordprophecy.org. I do have a lot of these articles that apply to what I'm speaking of. Go over there to Prophetic News. You'll enjoy it.
Yeah, amen, folks. Go check it out. And you can always find a link where right now we're talking live, but when you go to our End Time Radio Archives, there will be a link to his website. So check it out. Check out the other programs over there, and also you can find archives at American Voice Radio. In the meantime, we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back. Few things in this world are more important than clean, pure water. Understanding this, ABR makes 4 tabletop water distillers available to you for purchase. First, we have the 5.5 hour per gallon with polycarbonate collection jug for $139. The second is a 5.5 hour per gallon with glass collection jug for $189. The third is a 3.5 hour per gallon with polycarbonate collection jug for $189. And our premier tabletop distiller is a 3.5 hour per gallon with glass collection jug for $250. All our distillers have a stainless steel boiling pot, dome, and cooling tubes. And the premier version also has a splash flap to protect against contamination of the cooling tubes. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com for more information and protect your water supply.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold. gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. And again, we are back. We took off for 2 weeks, but we were working at the Wichita Mission Church, and I didn't think you folks wanted a pre-recorded program that just has no energy in it. I just can't take pre-recorded. So I apologize, folks, if any of y'all missed me. Well, I'm glad, but most of you probably figured, oh, that guy's back on the air tonight, right? Okay, anyway, I'm back, and I got a good guest with us. But first, a little talk about the Wichita Mission Church. I do need you to pray about supporting the work we do with the Wichita Mission Church with the homeless and poor. Well, of course, the homeless are poor, but we're talking about we get so many poor people in there that come in looking for a place that's non-agency, and they come looking for counseling, they come looking for Bibles, they come looking for clothing, shoes, stuff for their children. I mean, they just keep coming and coming and coming and coming. My wife shakes her head. She told me the other day, she said, Dad, it's the first of the month, and we don't have any seating room, you know? And so, but, you know, for vegetables and stuff, lately we were donated a bunch of Y2K dehydrated food. And believe me, that's some pretty good stuff. We've been, my wife's been making some good stews and soups with it. We've just been, you know, been buying meat, but we need your help. Pray about supporting us. You know, we're there to help the poor, and we're there to bless them, and so help us. You know, I don't sell anything, and yeah, I'm planning on writing a book one of these days when I get time and sell that, but, you know, I'm more about warning people. So, you know, even if I write a book, if I get the book written that I want, I'm going to have a hard time selling it, you know, because I want to give it away. But pray about it. Supporting the Wichita Mission Church. You know, no, you won't get any recognition on the face of this earth from it unless, of course, you want a tax deduction. You can claim it for your taxes. But we're supposed to donate to things that we get nothing in return. That's where the greatest blessing comes from. So you got to give from your heart. That doesn't matter if you're paying, like, regular tithes to your church, you know, and giving them regular offerings. If you're doing that grumbling, then you're not going to get a blessing for it. So you need to pray about the things that you're doing. You know, donate to the things that your Father makes you feel good about, and look for the blessing on the other side. Or don't even worry about the blessing. Just give because it's the right thing to do. Have you ever heard of that? just giving because it's the right thing to do. Because, you know, the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. That's where. From your heart. So pray about it. We could really use your help tonight. You can donate online, mail a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com, or you can call me at 620-878-4682. And again, you can donate it with a check or money order, or you can make an online donation. That gets me, it gets help to us immediately, and we could use your help. But no matter what, you know, we've been doing this 15 years and with, by faith. You know, so many, we spend down to nothing in our pockets because we just keep helping, and we have faith to believe that the Father will replace whatever the need is. So we don't have, we don't live in some big fancy house. I live in a house that I rose four children in, and I'm now basically helping my son raise four grandchildren in. And you know what? I paid for this house. I paid $1,400 in back taxes after the Father led me to this house by a dream vision. And so, you know, I raised four children here in Florence, Kansas, and I'm working on grandchildren. And we've been taking care of the Wichita Mission Church. It's stayed, 15 years it's stayed open. We've never failed to open because of funds. Never had the lights or electric turn off. Yeah, my wife lately has been paying the Wichita, the bills have been doubling, and she's been paying the cutoffs, but the lights are still on. So pray about it this year. You know, pray about it. We really could use your help. And encourage others to listen to this radio program, because the more people that listen, then the more people get warned about the current situation we're in. And that is, really means a lot to me, is to warn the people so that maybe by warning, people will get ready for Yeshua's return and not be caught off guard. So I just pray that for you. And we love you, folks. And so if you need to call me, 620-878-4682, and I better get off of here and let Steve get on. He's probably tired of listening to me rattle. So, Steve, are you still with me, brother?
I'm here, brother, and just really happy that you are one of the ones that are actually obeying Scripture to the point of taking care of those who are less fortunate. And if we could all grab a hold of that vision, this world would be a different place. I commend you, brother, for your work there in Wichita.
Well, thank you, brother. And, you know, we do it not because, you know, we're trying to earn our way to heaven or any of those things. We just do it because it seems to be the right thing to do. You know, we believe that. People ask me all the time, well, why do you do that? Well, why don't you do it? We believe it's the natural thing to do, you know. So, amen. Anyway, brother, you were really getting into the book of Daniel, and wow, take us back into that.
Okay, We were discussing Daniel 8, and as I said before and have said for a long time, this particular vision is one of the visions that I've been studying for, you know, over a couple of decades, because I recognize, number one, that Gabriel did say it was an end time vision, and then as I began to mull over the world powers and the people that are really in the news and what is going on as far as the shaping up of conflict in the world, I recognize that there are a couple of entities that are the main focus in the world right now, and that is Iraq and Iran. And in the prophecy of Daniel chapter 8, there is a ram in this prophecy, and I'm not going to go through the prophecy. You can look at that later on. But we do know that this is an end-time vision. So if we place the ram and the goat that are identified in the Scripture and at the end of time, we're going to find some certain geographical locations that are specifically identified. The ram is standing at a river, now known as the Kurun River, the ancient Ulai, which is right there in between Iraq and Iran. And that is where this conflict begins, where this ram begins to push. It's bullying its neighbors. It's getting very, very violent, and no one can seem to do anything with this ram. But then that brings on a response from this goat that comes across the surface of the whole earth from the west and doesn't touch the ground. And it comes and it confronts this ram because of what the ram is doing over there. Now, I find it interesting that the prophet says that it comes across the surface of the whole earth from the west. And the focus that Daniel has is on a great horn that's in the between the eyes of the goat. And when we go to the interpretation found in Daniel 8, the great horn, in the King James transliteration, it says it's the first king. But in the Hebrew, it actually means it's a number one kingdom or a number one nation. In fact, in one of the verses in Daniel 8, it says that out of that broken horn or that great nation came up four. And so we're looking for a great nation that comes across the surface of the whole earth from the west. And the focus is on this great horn. Now, when the great horn breaks, then four come up in its place, and it goes toward the four winds of the heavens, indicating that when this great nation breaks from the west, then four are going to take its place, and then it's out of one of these four horns that the little horn comes up and then begins to do his deceitful work, as we find a lot of identifications of this little horn, not only in Daniel 8. In Daniel 8, you find four horns. In Daniel 7, you find four beasts. And there's a Daniel 7 and Daniel 8 put together, and it's a repeat and enlargement. The first year of Belshazzar was the first vision, and the context was that Daniel was by the sea, or he saw the four winds striving upon the great sea, and when these four winds were blowing on the sea, then these four beasts come up. But chronologically, Daniel 8 comes before Daniel 7, and the conflict that starts this, that allows these four beasts to come up, is this goat and ram vision. And something that this ram does really makes this goat really, really mad. And so it's very evident to me that as I began to study these prophecies, that Iraq and Iran are major focuses in the world today. In fact, back in 2001, when the World Trade Center bombings happened, George Bush stood up before the world and he identified Iraq and Iran as a couple of axes of evil along with North Korea. And when I heard that way back then, I began to really pay attention to these prophecies. And since then, I have seen this little storm gather into a great, huge storm that's coming, that's brewing on this earth. And we're going to have to do something with Iran here pretty soon, because they are openly threatening Israel with destruction and annihilation. And remember, the book is a Jewish book. The Bible is called, it's a Jewish book written by Jewish prophets and pertain to something that is happening to Israel. Now, when it talks about the Medes and Persians, there's some connection between that and Israel. Or if it talks about Damascus, any of these writings that the prophets gave, when it mentions a particular prophecy, then it has some connection to do with the Jewish people. Now, in the current news, and unfortunately, brother, I am absolutely almost in shock, because I had a whole gamut of articles that I wanted to share with you to show you exactly what is going on with the news as far as Iran, Israel, and the United States, and the wars and rumors of wars. And my computer started to break down, and I have never seen anything like this. It hasn't happened before, and I'm still trying to pull it up at this particular moment. I lost all of my articles that I was going to share with you on this program, but it looks like I have saved in one of my emails, and if you'll bear with me just 1 minute, I'll see if I can pull this up. Okay. One of my articles, thank you, Yeshua, for this. I had so many that I want to share, just to show you that the focus of the world is on the Persians, which Daniel said that the ram are the kings and the Medes and Persians. And so, you know, it's one thing to put that in history, but it's another thing to put it at the end. And we always have recognized that the Persians are Iran. And so if we put the Persians at the end of time, we're going to have to see Iran in the front and center of things. And I'm looking at articles constantly that involve Iran and their rhetoric to annihilate Israel. Here's one article that says, Iranian regime escalates and threats to annihilate Israel. This is December 17, 2014. It states, Iranian regime escalates the deadline for a joint plan of action between Iran and the P-plus-one convention that's trying to formulate a resolution on their nuclear program. And it says, as global oil prices have dropped sharply and severely, it impacts the Iranian economy, and Iranian officials, mostly from Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guards, have within a short span of 6 weeks to ratchet up their calls to annihilate Israel. IRGC officials emphasize the missile capabilities of Iran and of the Palestinian faction that it arms, saying that these will hasten Israel's elimination. One major motif in statements during this time by Iranian regime officials is the arming of the West Bank. At an Islamic conference in Tehran in late November, the Supreme Leader Al-Khamenei reiterated the promise that he had made several months previously that the West Bank will be armed with missiles and Gaza had been armed and that Israel's security would be deteriorating day by day. And the IRGC commander predicted that Israel will be eliminated thanks to the missile capabilities of the resistance factions, and stated that the West Bank would become hell for Israel, whose destruction is imminent. I have probably 400 or 500 articles in this last year that regard the focus of Israel and Iran, and we know that Netanyahu has stood up before the United Nations and said the greatest danger facing the world is the Iranian regime and having the capabilities of having nuclear weapons. And we've been going over there trying to deal with the Iranians, and all the while they are putting nuclear centrifuges together underneath mountains. And they're hiding a whole bunch. The IAEA says that they are in some ways conforming to the nuclear compromise. However, Israel knows better, and most of the world knows better, that they are diligently trying to pursue nuclear weapons. And if it gets in the hands of Iran, because Iran is supporting Hamas, and they are sending weaponry over to the Palestinian leadership, they are sending weapons over to Hezbollah, which is on the north side of Israel. In fact, there was an article last week that I saw where they showed three Iranian Republican Guard up in Lebanon. And what is so amazing to me, Brother Dan, is that the whole focus, and out in the open, Iran is calling for the annihilation and destruction of Israel. And Israel is getting to the point now, which, and you can't, they can't be blamed, that they're saying if you can't bring a compromise and you can't eliminate their nuclear program, we are going to have to take this in our own hands because there will not be a second Holocaust. And I'm telling you, there are some very, very significant harsh rhetoric back and forth against from Iran to the United States. The United States is threatening Iran. Israel is threatening Iran. Iran is just here last week had some war games, and they were bragging that they had turned away a U.S. warship down there. And they are really saying some things out in the open against the United States in their face and against Israel. And at some point in time, something is going to make this goat from the West, who is very, very angry at something this ram does. And they want to be the number one Middle Eastern power, and that is what their pursuit is. And they are Shia Islamic adherents, and they are the Twelvers. They're the ones, the apocalyptic, messianic Islamic adherents that believe that the 12th Imam is going to come at a time of great trouble, and they think that they have to initiate that in order for it to happen. And they recognize that Israel is going to have to be removed, and it's all about that place over there, that occupied territory called Jerusalem.
Yeah, and
What are your thoughts, brother?
Well, absolutely. I don't believe that. I just don't see Obama, you know, pushing Iran too far. But I do look, and in that case, though, you're right. Israel's going to have to do something. I'm watching a lot of things. One thing is that recently Russia started shipping missiles to Hezbollah and to some others in the area to go against Israel with. And ISIS is also pushing towards Israel. And so there is a lot going on. And I do believe Iran, though, with the nuclear weapons is the one to watch.
Yes. And we find articles all over the newspaper. One entitled, West Will Fail in Trying to Bring Iran to Its Knees. And this is a Khomeini who said this, that Western countries will not be able to force Iran to sign the agreement on Iran's nuclear program on their terms. And adding that the West has tried hard to bring the Islamic Republic to its knees, and it says that they will not and cannot bring our nation to its knees, so they might as well just go ahead and get this program, you know, to release the sanctions that they have put on Iran, and that's the only reason why they've come to the table in the first place.
Well, I think just a minute. You know, with the dropping, the huge drop in oil prices that are causing real hardship with Russia and Iran, that in itself could push them to say, okay, well, you know, we don't have to worry about the riches, so we might as well go ahead and fight it now. You know,
absolutely.
And so,
There are a lot of nervous people in Israel. One article I have here, cornered but unbound by nuclear pact. Israel reconsiders military action against Iran. This is in November of this 2014. It says that Israeli official cites a sunset clause in proposed comprehensive deal which guarantees Iran a path into nuclear club and may corner Israel into war. It says that Israel has issued a stark public warning to its allies with a clear argument, and current proposals guarantee the perpetuation of a crisis backing Israel into a corner from which military force against Iran provides the only logical exit. Friends, there is going to be a tremendous conflict here in our near future. Another article, Iran threatens to flood Gaza with millions of Iranian fighters. This is November 2014. The head of the Iranian government's paramilitary force claims that millions of volunteers have applied to fight in Gaza and Syria. It propagates the head of Iran's paramilitary force has claimed it is raising an army of millions, listen, millions, to flood Gaza and Syria to support Tehran's allies, Iran's semi-official paper said on Monday. That Brigadier General Mohammad Naqi, commander of the paramilitary force, says millions of Hijaz are ready in Iran to be dispatched to Syria and Gaza, and they have come to us for registration. The continued war in Gaza will accelerate arming the West Bank and annihilation of the occupiers and the Holy Quds, which is Jerusalem in their language, occupiers. Fear from arming the people and the resistance movement in the West Bank show how deeply Tel Aviv is vulnerable to the start of a new phase of fight and resistance. So the storm is brewing. There's talk back and forth. Remember, Yeshua said that there will be wars and rumors of wars, but be not troubled, for then nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And Daniel is very clear and replete with this conflict with this ram and goat, where something that the ram begins to do, now whether it be something that Iran initiates, but I'll tell you, with the rhetoric that they're putting out in the airways, I don't understand why Israel or the United States has not done something about it so far. Here's an article. Iran TV airs cleric threats to raise Tel Aviv and target U.S. bases. You know, I got to go on and on. It talks about that any place in Israel is vulnerable with the missiles that they're developing, and the Sajida ballistic missiles can hit and raise to the ground any place in Israel as well as any American base in the region. And the Ayatollah claimed that Israel's atomic or missile centers are within range of the powerful, fast, and awe-inspiring missiles of Iran. The Ayatollah, who took frequent pauses seemingly to allow the cloud of thousands to chant, among other things, Allahu Akbar, death to England, death to America, and death to Israel, mentioned the Iron Dome defense system by name and asserted that the acclaimed Israeli missile interceptor was no match for Iranian ballistic missile technology. So on and on and on, we find the articles that put this thing together for us, that show us exactly where we are in the history of the world. Here's one particular article, Obama. There's a big gap between the West and Iran. I'm sorry, brother, am I running out of time? Or?
Yeah, I was going to tell you, you got about a minute left or less to say goodbye. So
okay.
When we're having a good time, time flies, brother. What can I say?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Let me just share a couple of headlines and we'll end with that. Iran's supreme leader touts 9-point plan to destroy Israel. That is in the news as we speak. Iran's community Israel has no cure but to be annihilated. That's another article. Iran nuclear threat 5 times greater than previously thought. Another article. Iran, we aim to destroy U.S. Navy forces in the Gulf. So there's something going to happen, brother, between the West and Iran and that coalition over there. And we look for it to happen. And I just feel that we're on the very precipice of seeing this prophecy fulfilled before our very eyes. And the good news is Yeshua's coming, brother.
Yeah, amen. At the end of all these things, Yeshua's coming. The baby will be born, and that's Yeshua. Amen. Well, thanks for being on with me, brother. I'm sure you'll do it again. And in the meantime, I got to say goodbye and be blessed.
Okay, you be blessed, my friend. Bye-bye.
All right. Folks, pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church. We really do need your help. Let's get into the first of the year. I'd like to catch up all the bills and everything and march forward. But it doesn't matter because, you know, we're going to be there like we've been there for 15 years. We're doing the greatest thing to do is being within the Father's will. He never offered us riches on earth. He never said that we wouldn't be without tribulation. He said we would have tribulation. So, you know, we're used to it, and we have a lot of faith. And by faith and believing in what he said and what he told us to do, we're still there after 15 years, just like we're still on radio. Even though that we always have to ask for donations for airtime, we're still here. But we do need to get radio airtime paid, so pray about it. You must remember there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the only true God. There's only one God. The other things is just the devil. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach, and he gave his life for your repented sins. He didn't give his life so that you continue on in sin, so that you would turn away from sin, repent, and turn away from sin. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. He said this was his sign given to a wicked and adulterous generation, was a sign of Jonah, 3 days and 3 nights. Through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember that, folks. Anyway, always, always, always be a blessing to others. If you're not a blessing to others, then I really don't know where you're at. Okay, Lord our God, Father, King of the Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for the Messiah's Branch.